Done. I'm going to ask you, the congregation, to turn in your Bibles to Exodus. Exodus 26. We'll be reading, once again, considerable long portions of God's Word. I've asked some of the deacons to read it this week instead of having me do all the work of reading. We're in chapter 25, and we're trying to get all the way to the last chapter of Exodus, chapter 40. This particular section is a very, very long section where God is declaring to the people his intent to dwell with them. He has delivered them already from Egypt, from their enemies. Those are the first 18 chapters. He has been declaring to him his word, his law, in chapters 19 to 24, and then 25 to 30, he continues to declare his desire to dwell among them, and he gives them the pattern of the tabernacle.
The themes that we see in Exodus run all the way through the Bible. Is it still not working very well? So I see some of you shaking your head and stuff. Turn it up some. You can leave them both on? Okay. We'll work through this, okay? And if you want to just sit down here at my feet, you can do that as well. I'm just kidding. Fundamental, the themes that you see in Exodus find themselves throughout all of Scripture. In fact, our Sunday school, we will meet today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter will mention this experience of the Israelites in the desert. Paul mentions it several times in his writing. This afternoon, the men's Bible study, the author of Hebrews, will mention it as well. So it is very, very critical, very, very important. The sheer volume of material that is in Exodus 25 to 40 should give us the indication that this is very, very important to God. God has providentially been leading his people. He has been revealing to him his precepts. And he wants to be in their middle. He wants them to experience his presence. Israel is God's chosen people. And his intent is to dwell with his people. Last week, we read quite a few chapters in this portion of God's Word, and we saw that God needed, or God owns all things. All the possessions that the Israelites had were his, and he asked for some of them back. In fact, the people were so moved by the graciousness of God that they gave more than enough. And Moses had to say to the people, enough, quit giving, we have plenty. But we not only saw the possessions, we also saw the people that God indwelt and gave them special gifts, talents, to build the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern that Moses had seen on the side of the mountain. So we saw the possessions, the people, and the pattern. Today we're going to get into more specifics. We're going to see what God's commands are, the pattern is, regarding his tabernacle. It's also called in Scripture the house of the Lord, or the tent of the Lord. It's called his sanctuary, the tabernacle of the testimony, or the tent of meeting. So would you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 26, and I've asked Steve Wyatt.
Exodus 26:1. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains one to the other with the clasps, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall you make. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall be the same size. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and the 6th curtain you shall double over at the front of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost on the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and put the clasps into the loops, and couple those tents together, that it may be a single whole. And the part that remains of the curtain of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And the extra that remains in the length of the curtains, the cubit on the one side and the cubit on the other side, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and that side, to cover it. And you shall make for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins and a covering of goat skins on top. You shall make upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits shall be the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. There shall be 2 tenons in each frame for fitting together. You shall do for all frames of the tabernacle. You shall make frames for the tabernacle, 20 frames for the south side, and 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames. 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, 20 frames. And there 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one frame, and 2 bases under the next frame. And for the rear of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 frames. and you shall make two frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear. They shall be separate beneath, but joined at the top at the first frame. Thus shall it be with both of them. They shall form the two corners. And there shall be eight frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases, two bases under one frame, and two bases under another frame. You shall make bars of acacia wood, five for the frames of one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the frames of the side of the tabernacle at the rear westward. The middle bar, halfway up the frames, shall run from end to end. You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make the rings of gold for holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain. And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim, skillfully worked into it, and you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia, overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold, on four bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps, and bring the ark of the testimony in there, within the veil, and the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and you shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle, opposite the table, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework, and you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five bases of bronze for them. Exodus 36, verse 8, through the end of the chapter. And all the craftsmen among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains. They were made of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns with cherubim skillfully worked. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains to one another and the other 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain of the first set. Likewise, he made them on the edge of the outermost curtain of the second set. He made 50 loops on the one curtain and made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was on the second set. The loops were opposite one another. And he made 50 clasps of gold and coupled the curtains one to the other with clasps, so the tabernacle was a single whole. He also made curtains of goat hair for a tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain was 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the outermost curtain of the one set and 50 loops on the edge of the other connecting curtain. He made 50 clasps of bronze to couple the tent together that it might be a single whole. And he made for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins and goat skins. Then he made the upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits was the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. Each frame had two tenons for fitting together. He did this for all the frames of the tabernacle. The frames of the tabernacle he made thus, 20 frames for the south side. And he made 40 bases of silver under the 20 frames, two bases under one frame for its two tenons, and two bases under the next frame for its two tenons. For the second side of the tabernacle, of the north side, he made 20 frames, and the 40 bases of silver, two bases under one frame, and two bases under the next frame. For the rear of the tabernacle westward, he made six frames. He made two frames for the corners of the tabernacle in the rear, and they were separate beneath, but joined at the top at the first frame, and he made two of them this way for the two corners. There were eight frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases under each, every two frame, two bases. He made bars of acacia wood, five for the frames of one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the frames of the tabernacle at the rear westward. And he made the middle bar to run from end to end halfway up the frames, and he overlaid the frames with gold, and made their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. He made the veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen with cherubim skillfully worked into it. He made it. And for it he made four pillars of acacia and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast them four faces of silver. He also made a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework, and its five pillars with their hooks. He overlaid their capitals, and their fillets were of gold, but their five faces were of bronze. This is God's Word.
Thank you. We are resolving these sound issues soon. I spoke to the gentleman, Chad, and he said a lot of our wires equipment has arrived. He's just waiting for one more piece. Once it gets here, we'll set that up, and then we're waiting for the speakers and the soundboard and the additional equipment. So thank you for your patience. Most of the world meets together on a Sunday morning. They don't have our sound system, do they? They have no sound system. They strain to hear. And there's little kids running around. They're on a dirt floor. We have so much to be thankful for. So let's try to make sense of what's going on here. I was saying most all of the Hebrew boys, by the time they were 12, had this section and also the first five books of the Bible memorized. I'm glad I didn't have to ask you, Steve, to say that portion of God's Word by heart. Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We're not going to be symbolic or we're not going to interpret this allegorically. We're not going to become subjective. You know, the gold meant this, the purple meant this, the silver meant that. The Bible doesn't tell us. And so who knows who's right? You know, the cross beams meant this. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. And so we're going to try to make sense of it through the lens of the New Testament. When the New Testament sheds light on what these figures meant, we will go there. But if not, we're not simply not going to go there. We're not going to be speculative about what all this means. These aren't the only references about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. All throughout the first five books of the Bible, there are mentions to the tabernacle. It was a beautiful place, but the beauty of the tabernacle was not in its design. It was in the fact that it was where God's presence was seen. In each and every utensil, each and every piece of furniture, each and every curtain were shadows of something greater, or someone greater, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, although it was built for to be the house of the Lord, it could never contain the presence of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says this, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built?" That's a reference to the temple. But the tabernacle could not contain the presence of the Lord. But it was, in a small way, very reassuring to the people who had the tabernacle, the presence of the Lord, in their midst. Very, very reassuring. In fact, the tabernacle, when it was built, the cloud and the pillar of fire came down and hovered over the tabernacle for all of their wanderings. So the people knew that this was God's house. This is where God lives. So in the text, it mentions cubits a lot. Anybody know what a cubit is? Well, no one knows for sure, but most people think it's probably around 18 inches. It's the distance from your elbow to your fingertips, 18 inches. So let's try to translate. The tabernacle is the tent. This here is the courtyard. This is the outer tent. But this tabernacle here, go to the next slide, Daniel. Yeah, here's a smaller, more up-close version. But it was 45 feet by 15 feet wide and 15 feet high. Not a very big dwelling place for God, but it was his tent. It was unlike any other tents in the community. In fact, we could actually get four tabernacles in this room right here. If you count out six and a half squares, that's how wide it would be. And if you count out 22 and a half squares long, that's how long it would be. It would go be from me back to the sound booth in about 15 feet wide, four of them, side to side. 15 feet high, my head is about 15 feet above ground level where you are. So that's how high the tabernacle would. So the plans for the tabernacle, verses 1 to 6, it talks about these coverings, these curtains that were made. God reveals to us in Exodus the tabernacle from the inside out. Now, we go into it from the outside in, but he reveals the plans from the inside out. And so he begins in verse 35, and we're going to read chapter 25, we're going to read that later, with the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies. The first curtain that he speaks about in chapter 26 was made of fine woven linen. It had artistic designs of cherubim. And we read about the cherubim this morning in our first verses, that heaven is full of God's cherubim. These designs on the curtain that covered the tabernacle were to be seen only by those inside the tabernacle. Most of the Israelites never saw the inside of the tabernacle. Only the Levites, and only certain Levites, are allowed to see the inside of the tabernacle. And so when one went in, those who were allowed to go into the inside saw the walls covered with cherubim. Covered with cherubim. We're not really sure. One can speculate. And we're not going to speculate too much. But sort of like, where does God dwell today? Heaven, right? Full of cherubim. So that first layer of tent or curtain was to be made of 10 curtains. 5 curtains coupled with another 5 curtains. And they were joined together with blue loops and gold clasp. The total width of that curtain was 42 feet by 60 feet. So that those curtains were so held together that it looked like one curtain. That's what it said. It become one tabernacle. And we can speculate there, what does it mean to be one, but we're not going to go there. We don't know why they mentioned that. The second curtain, so that's the first curtain, made of finely woven linen, embroidered with cherubim, held together by blue yarn and gold clasp. The second curtain was made of goat's hair, the text tells us. It was a dark, thicker fabric, probably felt a little bit like felt. And this fabric was joined together, made one by five and six panels. The other was five and five. This is five and six. It was a little bit longer, 45 feet, and so that it overlapped, it covered the entirety of the first curtain. The inner covering of the curtain this time was covered with blue yarn, but not gold clasp. It says it was covered with, it was held together by bronze clasp. So it appears the further you got from the tabernacle itself, the material became just a little bit less intense. So because it was a little bit bigger, he gives instructions that the larger part was to hang over the back of the tabernacle because it was about 6 feet longer than the tent before, the curtain under it. Longer and about 3 feet wider. So the third and fourth curtains. Verse 14, it talks about two more curtains. One was made of ram skin. It was dyed. I think the King James says it was dyed red. We're not really sure why. You can make some speculations there, but the text doesn't tell us. And then it says in ESV, it says in the fourth curtain would have been a goat skin again. I think some of your versions might say badger skin. The term for goat skin in the Hebrew is different from the second layer of curtain, and it also uses goat. It was probably some type of aquatic animal, meaning that the skin was waterproof. It would be the outer curtain. It wasn't a beautiful thing to behold, but it was very functional. It would what? Repel all water, all rain in the desert. It would repel the wind as well. So it was a very sturdy outer cover made of fine leather skins. When these four layers were laid on top of one another, it made for a very, very dark interior of the tabernacle. There was no light. We're going to find out about the only source of light in the tabernacle from a man-made source was the candlestick. There was no light in the Holy of Holies. Dark, dark, dark because of the four curtains that were covering the tabernacle with all its clasps and purple and stuff. The only light in the Holy of Holies was what? God himself. Heaven, there is no need of moon or stars in heaven because God is light. So now we're going to go a little bit into the framework of the tabernacle. The boards were made of acacia wood. Each board was about 15 feet high. The length, the height of the tabernacle, and 2 feet, a little bit more, 3 inches, 2 feet, 3 inches wide. There were 20 boards on the south side, 20 boards on the north side, and then 6 boards on the back side. The front side was a screen, the entrance plate. Scholars debate whether or not the boards were solid all the way, or there a little bit of spacing in between. We don't really know. This particular artist's conditions, they leave some spacing between the boards. Some pictures have it, you know, just solid gold. Some believe the curtain maybe was on the inside. Some believe the curtain was on the outside. We really don't know. It's not real clear in regards to that. But each board was coupled with the other board, and they were there to lend support. They were the framework for the tabernacle to support the heavy curtains that were on each board. There were rings, and there were bars, and there were joists, and all. I'm not a carpenter, but everything there was made perfectly in conformity with the pattern that Moses had seen on the side of the mountain. There were sockets. And there were bases, and the bases were made of silver, and lots of silver. They say that there was maybe 264 pounds in each base of silver, with these pillars supported by these bases. So they have a foundation of silver, walls perhaps of gold, curtains covering their tabernacle, and bars of acacia wood all covered with gold, according to the pattern that was revealed to Moses on the mountain. Moses apparently saw or had a vision or went to heaven himself and saw exactly what God wanted him to do. And exactly what God wanted Moses to do was carried out by the men empowered by the Holy Spirit of God here on earth. Clearly, the text that Steve read, the stress is on the curtains and the coverings and the tabernacle and the framework. And I think one thing that we can take out of the curtains is that there was a separation. There was a separation between God and the people of God outside. Entering into the presence of God is no small matter to a holy God. God is holy. In fact, in this section of Scripture, from chapter 25 to 40, 48 times, Moses uses the word holy. The theme is the holiness of God. The curtains were there to symbolize no one can see God in his holiness. In fact, go with me to Exodus chapter 40. I mentioned this last week in our men's Bible study. Exodus chapter 40. Up to this point, before the tabernacle was made, Moses would oftentimes meet with God in his own tent, a tent that he placed outside of the community. And he would enter the tent, and God would come down in the cloud, and he would speak to God as if face-to-face, the text tells us. But once the tabernacle is finished, with all of its boards and all of its curtains and all of its bolt, all of its glass and all the silver and all the bases and all that kind of stuff, this is what Scripture tells us in verse 34. Remember, Moses is God's man. In the cloud, after verse 33, end of 33, and he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You would think of all people who could enter the tabernacle. It would be Moses, right? He's God's man, but not anymore. He cannot enter the tabernacle. He is not the high priest. Only the high priest can enter where the presence of the Lord is, the Ark of the Covenant, and the Holy of Holies. The text also told us about the veil, the two veils. Will you turn to the next slide there? This is also one more. An artist's rendition, perhaps, with one more on the veil looked like. The veil was also made of fine linen, blue, it says, and purple and scarlet yarn, with, again, artistic designs of the cherubim, hung on the four pillars between the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. And those pillars were once again made of acacia wood, and then once again they were all covered with gold. And they were, too, set on silver sockets. This temple, the curtain, we don't know the thickness. It doesn't tell us the thickness. Tradition tells us that perhaps it was the length or the thickest of your hand is wide. The cherubim, once again, there representing the glory and the holiness of God. And the veil was a divider between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Once again, you see the separation between God and his people. Men are sinners. God is holy. And God allowed one man to go into the Holy of Holies, separate, go through that curtain. Probably didn't look like that, and it's just the artist's renditions. He was allowed to go through that curtain how many times a year? Just once. One time a year on the Day of Atonement. And there God would speak to them. There he would, we're going to read about the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. He would sprinkle blood. So, God is holy. God separates himself from sinful man. The veil was a barrier. No priest could go beyond the veil except for the high priest, and he could only go once a year. Now, Scripture does say something about the veil, doesn't it? What happened the moment that Jesus died? The veil was ripped from top to bottom, symbolizing or giving us access. The writer of Hebrews tells us that. The veil was Christ in his flesh. He gave us access into his presence. What was once limited because of our sin has now been given to us because of Christ's righteousness that has been given to us. So praise the Lord for that. I'm going to ask Kyle to come up here, and he's going to read a few more passages regarding the ark. And you get this mic here for me. Go with me to Exodus chapter 25.
Start in Exodus 25, verse 10. Once you make it to 25, verse 10. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it. And you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it, and you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherubim on one end and 1 cherubim on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be, and you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, that are on the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. And if you would turn over to Exodus chapter 37, we're going to read the first 9 verses. So 25 is the instructions for how to build the ark. 37 is the fulfillment of those instructions. Start right in verse 1. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half was its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold for its 4 feet, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on its other side. And he made poles of acacia wood, and he overlaid them with gold, and put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark. And he made a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And he made 2 cherubim of gold. He made them of hammered work on the 2 ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherubim on one end and 1 cherubim on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat, he made the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces one to another, toward the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubim. This is God's word.
So, just a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant. It appears from Scripture, go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2, that the Ark of the Covenant is in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place that was allowed to be visited by one high priest one time a year. This was where the presence of God was. The cloud would come over, hover over the tabernacle. It appears like it would go into the Holy of Holies. And it appears, perhaps, according to 1 Chronicles 28, 22, the Ark of the Covenant acted as the footstool of God who sat on the throne, the footstool of God who sat on the throne in heaven. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2. He says this, then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant, which Kyle just read about, of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and made preparations for building." So David wanted to build this Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, which was the footstool of God who reigned in heaven. And so if you can picture God in his feet coming down and resting in the Ark. The basic structure of the Ark of the Covenant, it was to be made of acacia wood, once again. It was an ark. It was a box. It wasn't like the Ark of Noah, okay? It was the most important single item in the Holy of Holies, the most important single item associated with the tabernacle. It was to be covered, again, with gold, overlaid with gold, both inside and outside. It was about 3 feet 9 inches long and 2 feet 3 inches wide and 2 feet 3 inches high without its lid. Okay, it was a box. It was sort of like the size of this, maybe just a little bit bigger in as far as width, and not quite so high, 2 feet 3 inches high. It had rings on it, 4 rings. Why did it have rings? Because it could not be carried because of the Holy Spirit of God. It was the presence of God, and so you could not touch the ark. You needed to carry the ark with poles, and those poles were permanent. And they were a permanent fixture in the ark, and they were at the rings were at the corners of the ark. Some artists have it a little higher, some have it a little bit lower. I'm not real sure, but there were rings there, and they needed to be carried. The ark needed to be carried by certain priests when it was transported. Remember, because the tabernacle was portable. It was to be moved whenever the cloud left the tabernacle and went someplace else. There was a man in the Bible, the story is known as Uzzah. They were not transporting the ark the way it should have been transported. It was on a cart. The cows, the oxen stumbled. Uzzah thought he was doing God a favor and stuck out his hand to steady the ark. And what happened to him? Killed immediately. And they were disobeying God's orders in regards to the carrying of the ark. The contents of the ark, the text tells us that there were the Ten Commandments, the law, was put in there. It was a reminder to the priests of the law that they could not keep. It represented to them the holiness of God, but it also represented to them their sinfulness, the fact that they had to offer sacrifices because each and every one of them disobeyed the law. Later on in Hebrews, we find out there were 2 more items put into the ark. There was the budding rod of Aaron and a jar containing manna. And these were there during their 40 years in the wilderness and then later in the temple. And then there was the mercy seat. That mercy seat was the lid, so to speak, of the ark. There were cherubim facing one another. God's presence would come down above them and hover there, and the priest would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. It was made of pure gold, no wood. It was one piece. It was beaten. Yeah, the workmanship must have been incredible, but God, once again, superintended the artwork so that it came out just as he wanted. God dwelt between the two cherubim, and he met Israel's representative there one time a year. That mercy seat, and this is where we're going to get today, Paul makes reference to it in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It's the same word translated into Greek that the Hebrew says here is the mercy seat, that Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. And so when God looked down and he saw the law, he saw man's disobedience, Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. The blood was sprinkled so that God could see in Christ his sacrifice in our place. And what a joy it is to declare that to you this morning, that Jesus Christ is still our mercy seat. He gives us access to our Heavenly Father who resides in heaven today. So that's just a little bit of information regarding the ark and the tabernacle. There's a lot more information. I appreciate the men helping read. I do have some books, some images, and so if you're interested in that, just come talk to me and I'll let you take them home with you for a week and you can study a little bit more as well. Jesus Christ tabernacled with us, dear church. He resides with us today. He resides in us through his indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ tabernacles in us individually, but also in us as a body, his body, the Lord Jesus Christ's body. And like I said, once again, next week, tomorrow, next month, I don't know, 10 years from now, Jesus Christ will take us home, and we will tabernacle with him forever in a house that he had built in heaven for us. That is, and I don't use it very, very well, awesome, very often, but it is awesome to think of what God is preparing for us in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for giving us this section, which is so important for us to understand. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us access to the throne room of God because of his blood that was shed on our behalf. Lord, hear our voices now as we sing praises to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Steve and Jean, will you come up and lead us in a few songs, please, before we are dismissed?